going to be looking at a text. You'll notice in your outline on page 743, if you're using the NIV Bible in front of you, some interesting things. One of the things I want you to really get a hold of, and you've got to pray with me through these weeks that we're covering this, and I'm going to come back and reflect on this for the whole year. But this idea of we're just looking for ways to encourage us for outreach, to just be a blessing to someone else. And we've based this on a book and the Bible studies. I'm drawing real heavy right from the book. The book is entitled Bless. And it was really interesting when Barb had her surgery on Tuesday. I carried this book with me and I was reading it during her surgery, and then I took it back Wednesday and was reading while we were waiting, and then they informed us they were going to dismiss her shortly after lunch. And so a young lady came up to escort her downstairs in the wheelchair and to take her down and after the release. And a real friendly young lady, she came in, and you could tell she was very outgoing. And she saw me with the book, and she said, "What are you reading?" And I said, "The name of it is Bless." And I showed it to her. I said, "The subtitle is 5 Everyday Ways to Love Your Neighbor and Change the World." And she said, "Let me take a picture of that." And she took a picture of the front of it. She said, "That sounds like something I'd like to read." I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "I am." And I said, "Do you have a church home?" She said, "I do not." And so I tried to encourage her to visit with us, but her name was Victoria. And I thought, it's really fascinating how God works, isn't it? And see, and that is the emphasis on what we're studying, what we're looking at here, is to be alert. And I think if we're alert, God will open doors for us. Now, if he doesn't think we're going to be alert or take advantage of them, he might not open as many doors. But I believe that when we're alert, we take advantage of opportunities. And so I was able to give that girl a card and to invite Victoria to visit with us sometime. She even told me she was getting ready to go on a short-term missions trip in Chicago. I said, "Well, that's interesting. The writers of this book founded a church years ago in Chicago, two brothers, Dave and John Ferguson." And I said, I told her the name of the church even. But I found that to be interesting that God just opened that door. I've been listening to the Take 7 every morning and Psalms. And there was a verse that jumped out at me that really tied into our theme today. Now, stay with me on the theme each week, because we're following the acrostic BLESS. And last week was the B, and can you remember what the B stood for? Begin with prayer. Thank you. B, begin with prayer. Now, the L today is to listen. But to listen intentionally. Now, the E is going to be eating. That ought to be good for us. But it's just going to share ideas how we can provide meals and try to encourage people that we're trying to be a witness to. And then we're going to have the two S's. The first S is for service. And the second one is for story. And so we'll look forward to walking through that. But this verse in chapter 40 reminded me so much. There's a verse in Psalm chapter 40. This is not in your outline. Jot this down and look at it later. As a matter of fact, if you want something really challenging devotionally, read chapter 40 in Psalms. It is really loaded. David is writing a song for the choir to sing. We forget sometimes that these psalms was their songbook in Israel. But in verse 6, it says this, "You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. you opened my ears to listen. I thought, boy, there's a challenge for all of us. You opened my ears to listen. You do not ask for a burnt offering or a sin offering. Now, you know what that literally means, that phrase, you opened my ears to listen? It literally means you hollow out ears for me. You hollow out ears for me. I thought, boy, what a good picture of learning to listen. Make sure your ears are all cleaned out and you're listening properly. And isn't that an interesting thought? You hollow out ears for me. And think about what he's saying again. You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. It doesn't say he doesn't want us to sacrifice and bring an offering. And the last part of that, you don't ask for a burnt offering or a sin offering. Aren't we glad today we don't have to present a burnt offering or sin offering? Aren't you glad you don't have to go find a goat or a dove and sacrifice that blood? But right in the middle of that thought, he said, you open my ears to listen. Now, I'm going to share some interesting thoughts with you in relationship to this. And you follow along with me carefully in this because I believe this is really going to be helpful for us as you think about the importance of listening. You'll notice the central idea, to bless your neighbor, Jesus invites you to listen. I don't know about you, but I have trouble listening. Is anybody with me on that? And it's usually because my brain is thinking about something else and I'm terrible. And I don't know how many times I've read in different types of books on business and communication and just listening. And you're going to find that that sometimes we allow ourselves to fall in certain areas of interest that distracts us from that. Jesus invites you to listen. And I ask us the question, are we willing to listen? And I want you to think about this with me in a very practical, because we're going to see just a real practical application of this, and we're going to see a real practical emphasis. Now, last week we talked about prayer, and we talked about the importance of prayer and the importance of writing down people's names. And we challenged ourselves to pray every day for those that we're writing down. Now, maybe you haven't come up with eight people yet, but just keep praying about it. And just keep praying that God would open up your mind and your heart, and you would find some areas that will help you with this. So we challenged ourselves to begin with prayer. Now, today, we're going to focus on this second practice, listen. Now, listen to this statement. Any relationship starts with listening to someone's words and life. Isn't that true? Any relationship. We might add to that, any effective relationship starts with listening to someone's words and listening to their life. Because sometimes, if you're listening carefully, you get an indication of where they are in life. So really hearing and understanding what someone's been praying for and what someone is saying and what someone is feeling may be one of the kindest gifts you could give to that person, is to just listen. Because sometimes someone, they're not expecting you to come up with an answer to the situation. They just need somebody to talk to. Have you ever felt that way? I don't know if you're like me. I have to process things. And so I have to talk about them to get to my conclusion. And I might not have a good conclusion yet, but that's why I need to process it. And I need to talk, and I need to get feedback, because that helps me to to process whether I'm on target or not. This is not a good idea. And so that's how it is when we meet different people. A guy by the name of David Augsburger, he wrote something called Caring Enough to Hear and Be Heard. Caring enough to hear and to be heard. Sometimes we're not heard because we're not hearing, we're not listening. And people can detect that. This is what he said. He said, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Listen to that again. Being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indispensable. Now, let me encourage you, and listen, we're all different personalities. Some people are more outgoing, some are more introvertish. But what we're trying to do is just create some ice-breaking questions that we can tie into that will help us in that. So listening moves us forward in our relationships as God uses us to bless others and to bring change to their life, especially in a spiritual way. It's the next step in loving your neighbors and helping them to know God in a very true way. So the opposite of listening is what? The opposite of listening is not speaking. Right? It's waiting to speak. And so often, we can simply be waiting for our turn to talk, can't we? Are you like that? And I am guilty. So often, rather than listen to what you're saying, I am formulating in my mind what I want to say. And I really get in trouble with my wife with that. And most men can identify with that, can't we, men? When I hear those words, are you listening to me? And I have to admit that often I am prone to lie. Because I say yes. And then she pulls a dirty trick on me and she says, what did I say? That's not fair. And I get caught. I read something recently that was really cute. This guy was talking and he said, I'm talking to my wife and she said, while I've been talking to you, I saw you yawn 6 times. And he said, I'm sorry, dear, that was not a yawn. That was a pause, hoping I could jump into the conversation. And I'm not sure that's always true, but we probably all understand what it's like to be on the other end, the one who's not listened to, who feels unheard. And how many times have you been in a conversation with a person who was there but not really there? I've been there, haven't you? And sometimes you know that within a particular personality, and lots of times you know you're talking and all you get is, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. And it's so easy to be formulating and thinking about how you want to come back and how you want to engage in the conversation. And so we see here, you see, when we don't listen, people not only feel unheard, but they begin to feel unknown. One guy put a certain, he visualized this. He said, unheard plus unknown equals unloved. Unheard plus unknown equals unheard. How many times have you tried to make a phone call? Isn't it maddening today to try to call some? Don't you love to make a phone call to your doctors, your medical, y'all? If you're calling for such and such, push 1. If you're calling for such and such, point 2. And you're trying to think about, okay, well, you know, and then you push it, and then they say, your call is important to me, and someone will be on the line, and you are waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes that is the situation we create you're listening to you know, how many times you get on the phone? Barbara's gotten so she makes a call and she does the phone down and then she goes ahead and does something else. And because, you know, you're hearing blah, 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 blah. And hopefully you hope they'll come on. And sometimes you finally get somebody after 15, 20, 30 minutes and they say, oh, let me connect you with another office. Oh, no, wait. Oh, too late. They're gone. And so you got another wait. And so here we are. We're dealing with friends and coworkers and maybe a neighbor. And we sometimes in our conversation, we're in this fix-it mode. And the truth is that most people don't want your expertise. They just want your support. They just want you to listen. And sometimes you experience somebody saying, you know, thank you for your help. And you walk away realizing, you know, I didn't say very much. Which indicates that you listened. And that's what they needed, was someone to listen. When the people in our lives feel unheard and unknown, it ultimately leaves them feeling unloved. See, if you want to love your neighbors, and if you want to bless the people God has put in your path, then you want to make sure you have become intentional about listening and listening to understand. Now, look at that first point I've given you, the four H's. Let me just share this with you quickly. Wouldn't you agree the best salespeople in the world are not smooth talkers, but rather great listeners? I was dropping a car off at a dealership recently, and Barb came to pick me up. It was about a month or so ago, and she pulled up in front of the dealership, and I left my car and came around to meet her, and there was a salesman, car salesman there. This guy would not be quiet. Oh, hey, we have new Avalons. We can upgrade that for you. We can, you know, and he's talking to. I said, why would I need to upgrade? This thing's running well. Oh, you know that new car smell, and he's just yakking. And I said, but I have no car payment. And on and on. He had an answer for all that. And I told Barb on the way home, I said, you know, if I went back there, I would not choose him to be my salesperson. And we've all experienced that. You know, listening is not a talent, someone said, that some are born with and some are not. It's a skill that we develop and we get better at over time. So how do you develop it? One way is to come prepared to every conversation with these things in mind. And first of all, it's history. You know, just asking a person, you know, where are you from? Where do you work? Where do you go to school? What year are you in school? I found at the gym, I do that a lot with the young people. And I've learned not to ask them, what grade are you in high school? Instead of that question, I say, are you in high school or college? Because if they're in college and you suggest they're in high school, you know, they get offended. And so I often ask them, so tell me your story. Where did you grow up? Where did you attend school? What's your major in college? And I like to ask the young people, I go to the gym, there are a lot of young people there. And often I'll ask them, are you participating in sports and what is your sport? Because I'm curious as to the workouts they're engaged in and how it relates to the sport that they're in. I was talking to a couple young ladies a couple weeks ago, and they were both juniors in high school, one at Mountain View, one at Colonial Forge. One was a field hockey, one was a cheerleader. But listen, history, it's not hard to just bring up conversation. Now, secondly, is heart. What's your favorite team? And everybody would say, Commanders, right? What's your favorite team? And one lady says Redskins on the back row with her Redskins shirt on. But what is your favorite team? What's your favorite restaurant? Where do you like to be? You know, just a heart relationship. And then habits. What are you into? What are your hobbies? What do you like to do with your free time? These are just questions to, but then listen, because you find out a lot about people. When I'm trying to move into spiritual questions, I will ask, do you have a home church? And if they tell me they have a home church, often I will say, well, we're certainly not trying to get people to leave their church. But let me give you a card sometime if you're free and you know, come and visit with us and check us out. And when you find out their church background, you find out a lot about them. Hurts. How are you doing with such and such? How are you doing with this situation? How are you doing with the grief? How are you doing with losing your job? How are you handling? What can I pray for you about? How can I pray for you? Very few people, listen, it is rare that someone, you say, hey, can I pray for you? Well, sure. And most people would agree that they appreciate and need prayer. Is there something I can pray for? Is there something I can pray with you about? Especially if you know something's going on in their life that you can be a big help with. Just a thought there to help you. Now look at the second one, Jesus as a listener. And let me share this text with you and share a fascinating story related to this. But Jesus as a listener. Now, you think about Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus was the ultimate listener. And you think about all the Gospels. One writer said he researched one time how many times, listening opportunities came up with Jesus. And only out of all of those times, he said there's only about three times that because he was the ultimate listener. And he was the model for that. He was motivated by his love for every person. And you think about Jesus, he knew what was going on in a person's life. He knew that rich young ruler. He knew what his struggle with. People say, well, does that mean I have to sell everything? No, it meant that guy needed to. I mean, Jesus knew what was in his heart. And so Jesus took the time, and he took time to show love. He took time to be practical. And just very simply, he listened. Now, follow me in this passage of Scripture. And we're going to begin in verse 35. And let me read through this. And then you'll see in the second portion of this how we see his response to listening. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what was happening. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, they told him. Don't you think in that day people heard about this man who was healing people? And I think, you know, if he's sitting along the side, I'm sure he perked up to that. Verse 38, so he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those in front told him to keep quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now think about everything he said in those earlier verses. The beggar knew that if this man were the Messiah, he could perform miracles. He could turn a helpless situation around. He had heard about this man. And sometimes you and I need to ask ourselves the question, you know, how desperate are we for Jesus to intervene in our circumstances? And see, Jesus, because he was a good listener, he knew when to step in to a circumstance. And he could use a very kind question as an entrance into that. Look at the second part of that. Verse 40, Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. When he came closer to him, he asked him. Now, did he not know what was going on in this man's life? Absolutely. Did he not know what this man wanted? Absolutely. But he chose to listen to him. And he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What can I help you with? What can I do?" Boy, that can open up. How can I help you? What a great lead-in question. "Lord," he said, "I want to see." "Receive your sight," Jesus told him. "Your faith has saved you." Now that's an important thought there. He was saved because he trusted Christ for his salvation, not because he opened his eyes. And that's an important truth. Your faith. See, the word faith means to what? To believe. To trust in. And anyone who comes to know the Lord as their personal Savior, the first step is to trust in what He has already done. But what can I do? He's already done it. He asked you to do one thing. Trust in Him. Believe that He has paid the price. He has atoned through the shed blood on Calvary's cross for your sins. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, lest any man should boast, not of works, lest any man should boast." Nothing we can do for salvation, but believe in the finished work of Calvary's cross. Instantly he could see and began to follow him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, my point there is Jesus as a listener. He was motivated by the love for every person that he came across, that he encountered. He took the time to show his love and to be practical in the steps and the relationships to help people. And this man said, "Have pity on me." And just think about, you know, Jesus wasn't necessarily looking for someone to heal that day. Jesus wasn't walking around wanting to heal people. He was walking around wanting to heal people spiritually. He wanted to see people saved. He wanted to share the gospel. The healing was just a way for him to emphasize the power and the glory that came to him as the Savior. And so as we think about the importance of this, and we think about how busy sometimes we can get. The contemporary English version, that verses 40 through 42, goes like this. Jesus asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he answered. Jesus replied, "Look and you will see. Your eyes are healed because of your faith." So we see here that when you want to notice, what you want to notice is the question that Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do? What can I do for you? Can I help you with anything?" What? You're talking about opening doors to be able to help people. So he asked questions, and then he listened. Asked questions, and he listened. So you want to bless your neighbors, friends, and family? Imitate Jesus Christ. Fascinating thing happened to me. Several of you went to the funeral yesterday at Barbara Stone. We had a good showing. Thank you for coming. We had several people there. And the gospel was presented in several different ways. Boy, there was a crowd there. Man, the place was packed out. There was a crowd there. When it was over, and I pronounced a benediction, and then I came down, and as soon as I walked down, I started down the middle aisle. Gladys was coming out, and I wanted to talk to Gladys, but this young lady... Did you see that young lady? She stepped in front of me and she took my hand and held my hand and she held on to it. She said, "I know you don't remember me, but I was saved at Colonial Baptist Church when I was 8 years old." That would have been the middle about 85 or 86. She said, "You preached on the rapture, and to this day I remember the message, because God, in that message, reminded me that He is coming again, and I want to be ready." And she said, "Not only did I receive Jesus that day and you baptized me, I have shared that over and over with people as my testimony that Jesus is coming again. Are you ready?" Boy, did I have a conversation. I said, "You have made my day." Goodness, 40-some years ago. Married, 3 kids. Then she told me her mother's name. And I remember her mom. Her mom was married to a lost man and a man that wasn't very kind. She had a tough life. But she came to church. Now think about that. A mom, not a single mom in the sense that she didn't have a man at home, but she didn't have a man spiritually at home. But she had her 8-year-old girl in church to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Her name is Pam Beebe. I gave her my card. I said, "Now," she told me where her mom works, and I said, "You give us to your mom and tell her I'm going to be stopping by to see her." But what a blessing. Isn't that a blessing? And I tell you, I went out of there, I floated out of there after that. And I couldn't wait to get home and share that with Barb, because Barb remembered the whole story. And she just stood there and she held onto my hand and just talked to me. Must have been 10 or minutes or longer. Introduced me to her 23-year-old son. But think about that. 40-some years ago, 8 years old, a message on the rapture. She got saved and baptized. And she's still trusting Jesus. And it just reminded me of the importance, you know, of how God works. Now, let me share a verse with you quickly here, and let me just keep moving along. Learn to be a great listener. I'm not going to deal with that. Maybe some other time we'll look at that. Let's look at that part, listening to the heart. And let me just share a quick story with you on this. Proverbs 18:13. Boy, there's an interesting verse there in Proverbs 18. You know, Proverbs is full of things, but Proverbs 18:13 says this: "The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him." Do you hear that? The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him. Listen to this fascinating story I read. In 1816, a French doctor by the name of René Larnac, and I know I'm not pronouncing that right. Anybody take French? I took 2 years of French in high school. All I remember is parlez-vous français. Do you speak French? No, I don't. My French teacher was a member of my church, and she just wept over my ability to learn French. Helen Mercer, she and her husband were members of the church that I attended. Anyhow, this guy was a French doctor, and he was uncomfortable about placing his ear directly on a woman's chest to listen to her heart. That made him uncomfortable. So he invented a tool that doctors are still using today, the stethoscope. Do you ever wonder, because every time you go, they get that thing out, do you ever wonder if it really works? Have you ever sat there thinking, you know, I wonder if they, here and here and here and on the back, take a deep breath. Do you ever sit there wondering? I wonder what he's hearing. Is he hearing anything, or is this just a... But evidently it works, because this guy invented that. Isn't that fascinating? He invented it so that he wouldn't have to put his ear down. And he was famous for telling doctors and nurses, if you use this tool, now listen to this. He said, if you use this tool, don't stop listening to your patients. They will still tell you how to heal them. He didn't want doctors to just listen to hearts and lungs with his invention. He wanted to make sure they still listened to the words and the feelings of the patients. And I thought about that because often my doctor, he'll ask me questions. What are you eating? I lie to him. Oh, I'm eating healthy. Forgot to tell him about that piece of apple pie that Brenda Moore baked and I sneaked out. And then he'll say, are you working out? Yeah, what are you doing? But he asks questions and then he listens. And then he comments, but he listens. And that's an interesting thought. I wonder if we understand that we can make a huge gift to others just by listening to their hearts. Because if you're a good listener and you're listening carefully, you'll listen to the heart and the heart aches, right? And we're going to see in a minute that, you know, there are a lot of hurting people, and sometimes we just need to simply listen. Just simply listen to people. Listen to our community. Listen to our co-workers. Listen to our classmates. Listen to our neighbors. Listen to the hurts, the needs, and the pain of the people in our lives. Listen to the stories and discover what they really need. And you'll learn that really what's going on in a person's life. I don't know if you're familiar with a book that Stephen Covey wrote years ago. And he sold millions of copies of this book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Anybody ever heard of that book? 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Sold millions of copies. And one of the habits was this. Seek first to understand before seeking to be understood. Seek first to understand before seeking to be understood. Now, if I'm going to practice that, I'm going to listen instead of plotting and planning and thinking about as soon as I can jump in what I want to say. Proverbs 18:13. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace to him. Now let me just close quickly with this final point, the 4 P's of a place. And this is just very practical. Years ago, a man, actually in 2014, an author by the name of Rich Gorman wrote a book called Outreach from the Ground Up. And he wrote this for a magazine called Outreach Magazine. I still get Outreach Magazine. And he gave these. And let me just run through these quickly. The first P is pain. Ask yourself, what are the challenges and difficulties that exist in our community? What's going on in our community? What's going on in our church? What's going on in people's lives? What are people dealing with? Who's lonely? Who's anxious? Who's got an addiction that they're struggling with? Who's going through a strained and broken relationship? Pain. The second one is pennies. Understand the economy of a place. What kind of jobs do we have in our community? I don't know about you, but you ride around this community anymore. Have you seen all of the boxes going up? And I mean, Amazon is building a huge warehouse. That's why you see their trucks running all over the place, right? And you know, what's the economy? What's You know, we're just looking here. How does the economy affect the lives of the people living here? Third, power. And I felt a little guilty this. Years ago, I used to keep up with what was going on in the community as far as supervisors and Board of Education and just different things. And I sort of lost that. And I saw a Christian organization on that I have on my website, and I saw them presenting a plaque to Tara, is it Durant? She's our local representative, because this was a Christian school organization, and it just reminded me that you don't have to agree with all these people, but you ought to know them. And sometimes it wouldn't hurt to ask your supervisor, your Board of Education, what can I pray for you about? And the final P is parties. Every community has values it cherishes and loves to celebrate. Maybe it's friendships, maybe it's children in school, maybe it's just different things going on. And I read the story about a pastor who was in a process of planting a church in a community, and he decided to go to the local homeowners association meeting. He said, we thought, we were new to the community, just moved in. We thought there'd probably be 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 people there. So we got there, and there was just a handful of people, and they were all sitting around a table. And we found out the people sitting around the table were the leaders. And he said there was me and my wife and another couple, and we were the only people from the community there. And he said they went on with their business around the table, and then when they finished their business, they turned to us, and we could tell. He said, I knew that when they turned to us, they were waiting for us to complain about something. And I thought, yeah, I got some complaints I need to take to my owner, you know. Oh, whoa. He said, but when they turned to me, I said, we just really want to let you know we appreciate everything you do for our community, and we appreciate what you're doing, and we just want you to know that that we're here to help any way we can, if there's anything we can do for you. They said they saw this big sigh of relief. And I thought, you know, that's a good approach, is it not? Because we're usually, I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, I read a quote by Einstein recently. He said, avoid negative people. They have a problem for every solution. Avoid negative people. They have a problem for every solution. And I just want to share with you, as you look at the conclusion there, you know, Celebrate Recovery has a slogan they go by all the time, and they simply say, everybody has hurts, hang-ups, or habits. You know that's true. All of us. I mean, we have hurts, hang-ups, or habits that we're dealing with. And notice the conclusion there. When it comes to blessing your neighbor, friends, or coworkers, I want to challenge you to listen with intention. You need to first listen to understand their hurts, their fears, their dreams, their disappointments, their hopes, and their longings. We cannot bless the world without listening to people. Are you willing to listen? And I hope you'll take the little handout today and read the inside of it, and read the back page especially. And I think it'll help reinforce what we've talked about here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the blessings of your Word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you for church. Lord, we thank you for the church community. We thank you for the love that we enjoy in our church. We thank you for those who serve and give and go. And we thank you for the many opportunities that you open up for all of us to serve. And I pray as we, this month, just challenge ourselves with this, just this very simple, simple method of outreach, that we'll be willing to reach out and touch the lives and the hearts of others, because there are so many people that have hurts, they have hang-ups, they have some habits that they know they're struggling with. They need a listener. I pray that we'll become those listeners. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.